4. We'll be in verse 7 tonight. 1 John 4:7. Still going through the book of 1 John, verse by verse. We've moved it to Wednesday nights. The Gospel of John on Sunday mornings, and Brother Jeremy's taking us through Malachi on Sunday nights. We've been hearing some good messages from the Word of God. Here lately, most of them have been on false prophets. If you go back and just look at the messages that's been taught and preached, no matter who's been bringing the Word here recently, has been looking at false prophets. And listen, folks, they are everywhere. Everywhere. They always have been and always will be. So we must be vigilant. But tonight, let's look at believers loving all believers. Believers loving all believers. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Please stand with me one more time, please, tonight. And we'll read the Word of God together. Verse 7 of 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Father, we do need you, Lord, tonight, as we do every day, every night. Lord, help us to understand your scriptures. Lord, may we test ourselves tonight by your scriptures and not judge ourselves with ourselves, for that is not wise. And Lord, may you be glorified, honored through the preached word tonight. And help us, Lord, to love one another. And in Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Verse 1, the word beloved here, I'm going to give you the definition part, is spoken of Christians as united with God or with each other in the bonds of holy love. Now, understand that when you and I are saved, the Holy Spirit, He inhabits, dwells in every believer. And there's an automatic love inside of every believer for God. There's also an automatic love inside of every believer for each other or for every believer. Now we understand there is a special bond between a pastor and the elders of the church as they under-shepherd the church and teach the church and love the church, pray for the church, amen, invest in the church. There is a special love there. There are some people in church who are closer with others than they are with other people, whether it be because of work-related or just the way people are. Some people connect more than other people do, amen? But the fact of the matter is that we are to love one another. We are to love each other. The brethren are to love the brethren. We know the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John here, is known as one of the sons of thunder. In Mark 3:17, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother James, and he surnamed them which is the sons of thunder. I can't say that word. I've tried. I've practiced and tried, and I still can't say it. Who else can say it? Anybody? Y'all ain't helping me neither. Amen. But this word means the sons of thunder. Let me write it down. I know y'all can say it. I've heard it said, but with my speech impediments that I have, my speech disability, I can't say it. So don't worry about trying to say it now. I'm just going to write it out on the board here. I do thank God that I cannot speak eloquently as others. Because then I would probably be prideful in that area. But the Bible says that James and John are the sons of thunder. Now, when you think of sons of thunder, what do you think of? Power, force, loud, boom. Maybe strike fear in people. But, well, I want to go there because I want to go here in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is speaking of Jesus and the disciples as they was going to go through to Jerusalem. And to go there, they was going to go through Samaria. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? What was they wanting to do? Burn these dudes. They wasn't tolerating it, was they? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now, we see here the boldness that John had. Would you agree? A boldness here to even say, Lord, let us call fire down from heaven and show these dudes that you are the Christ. Let us do this. He was intolerant with those who opposed Christ. Listen, please hear me again. He was intolerant. He was not into some kind of ecumenical system where all faiths come together and we're all trying to get to God down many different roads. No, it was Christ and Christ alone. John was intolerant of those who were against Jesus Christ. He would not tolerate the heretics here in 1 John, nor their heresies. Now, I said that to say this is common, please hear me, this is common with those who have grown in the faith and with those who have a love for Jesus Christ and a love for the Lord's church. Because you understand, as we looked at last week, a heretic is like poison in the arm. It will kill you. It will kill a church. I think about churches who have, well, much like this church, small congregations. Are we excited when someone new comes in? I'm excited. I mean, I like seeing the new folk. I love seeing the faithful folk. Amen. I love seeing all y'all. But here's the problem is that when new people come in, we can get excited and then drop our guards and even compromise to get them to stay. And before long, they're teaching heresies. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and that because the false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. What is one of the goals of a heretic? Is to bring you and I into bondage. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We see that Paul was much like John here, that he would not tolerate heretics coming in and teaching or preaching the Word of God. Now, though John would not tolerate the heretics, he was gentle with the sheep. Gentle with them. John loved the Lord and he loved the Lord's sheep. Now, this does not mean that he watered down the messages not to offend the sheep. No, when you love someone, you tell them the truth. In love. And that's what John was doing. John was writing and was telling these folk the truth in love. I want to point this out again about the book of 1 John. John is writing this letter to the brethren. Understand, this epistle is written to the brethren in the churches in the Asia Minor area. In writing, John is telling them how a true Christian should live. So as they are reading this, and I think we looked at this last week, as they are reading this book, this epistle, they understand how a true Christian is to live. But then he's also at the same time exposing the heretics and the heresies. So as they read this letter, no doubt as you and I read this letter and hear it taught and hear it preached, what should come in our minds are those who are saved and love the Lord and are serving the Lord, and also those who are heretics and preaching and teaching heresies, so those who have come in to try and deceive the brethren. We must remember that the book of 1 John is a book of examination. Now, listen at this. The book of 1 John, it focuses, first of all, it exalts Jesus Christ, as each book in the Bible does. But when it's dealing with people, it also examines our hearts, our motives, and our actions. All this is important. And hopefully by the time we get finished tonight, we'll understand why the focus is both on the heart and the actions of the people. First of all, I want to bring back to your remembrance what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." On Sunday mornings, we've been learning much about the Pharisees. How they would dress, how they would act, how they would listen, folks. They would sow Scripture. Sometimes make them broad and big and sow Scripture all over their clothes to make themselves look and appear super spiritual. Yet Christ says about the Pharisees that ye are of your father, who? The devil. And the lust of your father you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he knew not the truth because there is no truth in him. Folks, understand this, that someone can live a pure life on the outside and be full of the devil on the inside. Someone can live life on the outside in such a way that they are dressed to the T. They are super, super modest. You see no skin on them except for the hands and their face. And sometimes the back of their neck when the hair is up in a bun. Amen. You see these folk who, in their mindset, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't watch this because they don't, you shouldn't go here because they don't, you shouldn't do this over here because they don't, and if you don't do how they do it, then you're not right. Super spiritual. Do all that they do in the name of Christ, but for the honor and glory of themselves. Now, folks, understand that you and I can get here. This church can get here. We have a flyer back here that says, Richardson Baptist Church, a Bible-driven church. And I believe we are. We teach and preach the Word of God here. Do you believe that we can take that and hold this up and say, we're a Bible-driven church, so therefore we're better than you? Now, folks, when we do that, we're in trouble. We've placed ourselves where we ought not be. We need to check our hearts. Many folk can live a life as an angel of light and yet be full of the devil himself. John gives us little tests all through 1 John. These tests are so we can know the heretics and their heresies, but also so we can know where we're at. 1 John chapter 1, and these are some scriptures we looked at last week. Verses 1 through 4, here's some ways to know if you're talking to a heretic or not. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, and the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. We looked at this last week. Antichrist. He is against, he opposes Christ. For someone to deny that Jesus is the Christ, and to oppose Jesus Christ. So here's one way of knowing a heretic when you talk to him. If they begin to oppose Jesus Christ and are anti-Christ, of course, anti-Bible, then you know up front that they are anti-Christ, that they are heretics. I said this a while back, and do you know one of the definitions for heresy? Let me write it on the board up here. I can say it, but I want to write it anyway. What's that word say? Denomination. That's another word for heresy. In other words, we say, oh, they're just from another, what? When in fact, what they're doing is teaching and preaching heresies. Listen, folks, for someone to say, for someone to deny the Trinity, that's a heresy. For someone to deny that Jesus is the Christ, that's a heresy. We ought to have no part with them. The Bible is what gives us the test. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, look what it says. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We say, oh yeah, that's definitely about the heretics. That's also about you and I. This shows us some stuff about you and I. This deals with obedience to the Word of God. Look at verses 15 through 17 of chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This deals with their lifestyles. Understand that a heretic is always trying to steal your love and my love from the Lord and place it on something else to satisfy the lust of our flesh. 1 John 3, 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. How many churches are full of people who harbor hatred one toward another? Who have no love for the brethren? They just assume to see someone on fire than to love on them. I can remember coming up in some churches here and there as they continued to split and kept moving us here and there, that there were some where the people, I've told you about it, where they were ready to fist fight. People in the church getting up and hollering and cussing. Ready to throw down. Hollering. I can remember people pulling up at the church and pulling signs up and throwing them down. Terrible. They hated one another. There was no love there. That's not of God. It's fleshly and it's devilish. When someone is full of hatred, envy, strife, and unforgiveness, there's no room for love if they're full of these things. No room for love towards God or anyone else. If this is someone's lifestyle, if this is their continual lifestyle, then according to the Bible, they are put into the roll call of the damned and they are not saved. They have not been forgiven of their sins, therefore they cannot forgive. The love of God hath not been shed abroad in their hearts, therefore they cannot love. Truly love. One of the tendencies of a heretic is to love self. To love self. And many may not even realize that they love their own selves. Look at the contrast here in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Not self. Love one another. This word love here is to love in a social or moral sense, affectionate regard, goodwill, benevolence. This means we have common interest. Amen? We have something in common. And this is, of course, Jesus Christ. Understand that the church is a community of believers. We are a church family. Not a family church. There's a difference there. A family church is run by what? The family that runs the church. But we are a church family. We have a common interest. We are brought together. Why are we brought together? I want you to stop for a second and think about it. Why is it that we're here tonight? Who is responsible for you and I being here tonight? Jesus Christ. Because He saved us. Listen, all who were saved were once lost. Wow. We know that, don't we? We were all lost at one time. The church is made up of saved people who were lost. We all have a past. We all come from different walks of life. But we are one in Jesus Christ. I'll give you a great example of this. The disciples of Christ. Do a study on them. A study on the disciples of Christ, and you find out how different they were. You had Matthew. What was Matthew? A publican, a tax collector. You have Simon the Zealot. Guess what the Zealots hated? Tax collectors. Many of y'all are Zealots. Amen? I don't think anyone in here is a Matthew, a tax collector. But, and that was a joke. You see how Christ called these men. And these are just two examples. Matthew and the Zealot, Simon. And put them in one fold. And gave them love one for another. Who can do that? Only Christ. Only Christ. All believers are to love all believers. Hear this, regardless of their past. My life is an open book. To my knowledge, I have nothing hid from my wife or anyone else. I'd rather not go into detail about my past life. Some of you know me, but you don't know everything about me. Amen? I'd rather not go into detail. If you knew my past life, I think Brother Jeremy mentioned this past week about think thoughts in our minds. But if you knew my past life, you would automatically have a tendency to say, we need to get another pastor. And I don't mean that boastfully. I'm not going to glory in sin. But because of Jesus Christ interrupting my life and transforming my life, I am who and what I am by the grace of God. Thank God for saving grace. So regardless of someone's past, all believers are to love all believers. One of the main wars we have today is with homosexuals. Right? I mean, it's in the media. The media pushes it. If you look on the news, it's constant. Court battles, these battles, all kinds of battles. A homosexual, if the Lord saves a homosexual, are we to love them? They're no different than our cousin that's a drunkard, or brother, or uncle, or spouse, or whoever. They're sinners in need of the saving grace of God. And when God saves them, we are to love them. This love is not a perverted love that is inspired from an evil heart or in a defiled conscience. But instead we have godly affection one toward another. That's why we are called brethren. We are to view the men as brothers and the women as sisters in who? In Christ. Those who are older in the faith as fathers and mothers in the faith. We saw 1 John 3:14 a while ago that we know we passed from death into life because we love the brethren. But look in verse 18 of 1 John 3. And we've covered all this in previous messages, so I won't spend much time on it. It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We are dependent upon the Lord, ain't we? But we are also dependent upon one another. We are to have all things common. Let's go back to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Here's why. For love is of God. This word love is a different Greek word, agape. Goodwill toward others, the love of our neighbor, brotherly affection, which the Lord Jesus commands and listens and inspires. The Lord Jesus commands and inspires. How did God show us His love? Look in verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. God showed us His love. God not only did for us what we could not do for ourselves, He did for us what we could do for us. God proved His love by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. This was God's plan from the foundation of the world. Why did God create the world? To show His love. God is love. God is the originator of love. And love starts with God. You and I are to reflect God. So if God is love and we are reflecting God, what are we to be reflecting? Love. Love. Amen. Got it. Love should be flowing forth from us. Verse 7, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. This word loveth here is in the present tense. It means that this person continually loves others. This person continually loves God and the brethren. Let me give you some examples. This person loves being around the brethren. Amen. They look forward for the church to meet together in the church's meeting place. When the doors are open, we've always heard this, they are there, they're here. If the church met every day, these people would do their best to be there every time the doors were open. There's very little to keep them from gathering with the brethren to worship the Lord. In other words, they're not looking for an excuse not to meet with the brethren. Attending church is not a social gathering where they come to keep face or make business transactions or to make themselves feel better. And these come not just to get, but to give in worship and in service. These also put the needs of others before themselves. Now, why are these people like this? Well, because they are born of God. They are born again. This is born is spoken of God begetting in a spiritual sense, which consists of regenerating, sanctifying, quickening anew, and ennobling the powers of the natural man by imparting to him a new life and a new spirit in Christ. So you have the old man made new because of the work of regeneration of God in that person. New. Old things are pathway, all things have become new. Therefore, the person who is truly born again is now able to truly love. Now, here's a question I thought about in my own life here. Can I become relaxed in my love towards God and to the brethren? Can I do that? Sure can. Sure can. Think about it for a second. Can I become relaxed? I mean, that doesn't mean that I don't love God or love the brethren. Stay with me. Sometimes because of bad teaching and bad examples, this can happen. Which that's one reason John is writing this here. The epistle of 1 John, because of these bad teachers, the heretics have come in and have tried to lead people in the wrong direction. But mainly when our heart grows cold to the things of God, can we admit that we've been here before? Where our hearts have grown cold in the things of God? I sent this out this morning in Proverbs chapter 4. If you turn there with me. Verse 23. We hear it's real popular today to try to appeal to people's hearts. And we hear it all the time to follow your heart. If your heart's in it, then do it and follow the desires of your heart. And that's anti-Bible. Verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 4, keep thy heart with all, what? Diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Keep here means to guard. Put a guard around our heart. Let me ask you this question. What are we to guard our heart with? Now, think about this for a second. The only thing that we can truly guard our heart with is that which is infallible. And that would be the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Listen, folks, we must have a steady dose, a constant flow of the Scriptures coming into our minds and our hearts. If we do not, let me ask you this, did the church in the book of Revelation lose their first what? Love. And Jesus Christ told them to repent, or else I will come and take away your light, your candle. Here are some indicators that we have become relaxed. And I want to encourage y'all to hear me tonight. Here are some indicators that we have become relaxed in the area of loving God. And if we have become relaxed in this area, then we will be relaxed in the area of loving others. We don't pray. Read, study, or witness like we used to. It doesn't mean we don't do it. But that drive ain't there no more. That drive to get up and crucify your flesh and say, no, I will not sleep in. I will get up. Or to crucify your flesh and the desires of the flesh, to say, no, I want to read my Bible this morning. I want to feed upon the Word of God. And not just read, but I want to study the Word of God so that I can get sheep's food. And of course, witnessing. What is one way that we show our love for others? And here I'm not talking about believers, necessarily. But witnessing. Believers are to help each other. Iron sharpeneth what? Iron. And folks, if we understand that there is a real, literal hell, and we understand that people that we know and come in contact with, people go there every day, let that help us witness. Now, folks, I'm preaching to me just like I'm preaching to you. Something else, that other things come in our lives and we give our hearts to them. You know, there are different seasons in our lives. And with each season, something different comes in and tries to steal our hearts away. I want you to think about it for a second. This is constant. I'm talking about constant. From one thing to another. From this fad to that fad. From this hobby to that hobby. I mean, it's just non-stop snowballing effect. And listen, when we give in one time, this doesn't mean that we sit at home like a knot on a log. It's not what that means. How often have we heard it said, well, let me say this, we know the Scriptures, thou shalt have no other what? Before me. Oh, let's stop for just a second. I've been guilty of saying this, and my theology has really taken a radical transformation in the past couple of years. I want you to stop and think about how we hear what I just said, what the Bible says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, what's the first thing we say? Can't put nothing before God. Whoa! So are we saying that it's okay to have gods? Is that not what our mind does automatically? I can have this God. I just can't put it before God. No, God shares His glory with no one and nothing. Very convicting. So I want to encourage you to think about that. Because what will we do? Here's my God with a little G. And here's my God over here. So we have all these little, what? Back here. Let me ask you this. Where's our time consumed at? And He gets what's left over. Not that you have no other gods besides me, but you have no other gods, period. Amen. That'd be another lesson for another day. Let's get back to 1 John chapter 4. Understand that life consist of a lifelong battle of other things trying to come in and steal our hearts away from the Lord. This is non-stop. 1 John is a book of examination. And right now we should be examining ourselves. Not looking at others and saying, so-and-so should hear this, or I wish this person would have been here. Folks, we have no control over others. We must examine ourselves. Examine our own hearts. Look at the end of verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. This is in contrast to verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So those who truly know God, those who have truly been born again, these will love the brethren. They'll love God and love the brethren. Now, keeping this in context, let me say this. Believers are to love believers. Does God love all believers? He sure does. Does God love all who belong to Him? He sure does. Why does God love us? Because of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. God loves us because He chooses to. Now, I want you to stop and think about something just for a second. We love who we choose to love. We love who we choose to love. And we should love every believer. This does not imply that we shouldn't love non-believers. That's not what this is saying. Okay? But simply put, kept in context here, every believer is to love every believer with a godly, biblical love. It's not that someone, it's not that there's a certain someone out there that you can't love. It's that you choose not to, or you choose to. So let's examine ourselves according to the Word of God. Is there another believer that we do not love? Well, so I'm not sure if I know them yet or not, or if I love them yet or not. Well, look in verse 18 of 1 John 3. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but how? In deed and in truth. If there is another believer that we're not loving, we must ask ourselves why. God is love. And God loves every believer. And when His love is flowing through us, we will love every believer also. Again, I want to stress with a biblical, not a perverted love. Lord willing, next week we'll get into verse 8. And in closing, I want to say this, how great it is to be loved by God and to know that God loves us. And I also want to say how great it is to love the brethren and to be loved by the brethren, and to have a desire to meet with the brethren. And this may sound rude, but you know, I have a big family on my dad's side, a huge family. All of his uncles, and I mean, they had, you could say an average, just an average there, of probably 10 kids apiece. Average now. Some had more, some had less, obviously. That's a lot of old ones running around. I got lots of cousins. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, so on and so forth. On my mama's side, I wasn't a small family neither. I got lots of family. And I do love them. But if I was given a choice whether to go to a family reunion or come to the house of God with my church brethren, I'd come here. I love the brethren. I love the brethren. Amen? Amen. To God be the glory. Let's pray.